Hello, I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and co-host of the podcast Just Between Us.
What a coincidence. I'm Gabe S. Dunn. I'm a writer, bisexual icon, wink, and I'm also the co-host of this show.
Just Between Us is a variety show where we interview fascinating people, play a ridiculous game called Hypotheticals, and talk about things that affect everyone or maybe sometimes just me.
We also do a show called Too Long, Did Read It, which is a show where we scour the depths of Reddit to find the weirdest, kookiest, most upsetting posts and then give our opinions.
So if you're looking for a new show to check out that goes from silly to serious in the same episode, often multiple times,
back and forth from each of us,
you can check out the Just Between Us feed where we have over 200 episodes waiting just for you.
200 episodes?
I know, we've been doing this a long time.
And it were very funny.
Okay.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Literally press got it.
Consequence Podcast Network.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here and checking out the series. I do hope you hit the subscribe button while you're hanging around. I do three interviews every single week, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones, all the usual spots, including iTunes, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, Audible, Red Circle, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Again, I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, I get to talk with Matt Healy of the 1975. We're going to be diving into being funny in a foreign language. Matt's going to discuss his knack for being self-aware in his lyrics, writing songs that don't have choruses, plans to produce more projects for other artists, and how they've avoided being bored of the entire process. He's also going to tell us about the album's closing track. It's one of my favorites that he's ever done. It's called The Gentleness of When We Are Together. We'll also dig into the pitfalls of overanalyzing art and hear about the influence that Depeche Mode and Joy Division have had on them, as well as working with Samuel Bradley on their latest videos, some of the best videos they've done. Let's do this, then. We're discussing being funny in a foreign language. It's Kyle Meredith with the 1975.
Hello there. That's what a lovely introduction. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. I really mean that. And especially this new record, being funny in a foreign language, is so good. In fact, I think that the B-side of the last half of this record might be some of my favorite stuff that you guys have ever done. So just thanks and congratulations.
That really means a lot. Thank you. I think I agree with you on that one.
Just hearing you talk about it too, even going back to the previous record, you talk about that last album being, about the intricacies of the human experience. Where does this one pick up? Do you see it kind of in that arcing line like that?
I think so. I think it kind of picks up from a brief inquiry, our third record, a little bit in the way that it's still very much about consumption and consumption of, love and content and media and all substances and all those kind of things, which has been kind of my subject matter for a long time. But I think what separates this record from the previous records is that it's a bit more of a snapshot as opposed to this huge sprawling kind of narrative. I feel like every record I've needed to get out, I've been saying this, but it's been like all my previous records have been like everything that's ever happened, everything that's happening now, and everything that could happen in the future. Do you know what I mean? And this record, we were just like, no, let's just kind of be where we are now. And that kind of bled into the way that it was made and the way that it was recorded and the kind of the pace that it moves at and the length that it is and all those kind of things.
It's interesting the way you talk about that, because there is a lot of love on the record, you know, along with that consumption. And sometimes that consumption is the love that I hear. Mm. And sometimes the love is darker, you know, it's a darker love. Like, did you think through, like, how did you want to play with that, you know, going into it? I think how you were explaining what you were explaining just then.
Yeah, I don't really go into anything with that many expectations, but we always allow for whatever kind of revelation to take place. And I think the main one was that I've always been very, let's say, like, self-aware. I don't want to use words like postmodern, but kind of like postmodern in the way that, you know, a character in a film knows he's a character in a film. I've always done that a lot in my music. So it's always been a way that I've been able to be sincere, but then critique myself. So I kind of cut myself off at the pass before I get into the corny or the sentimental. And I think with this record, like, I challenged myself and was challenged by the band on particular moments, such as we have a song called I'm In Love With You. Now, I remember singing that in the booth and trying to essentially get a kind of a knot in there. Do you know what I mean? Like, something to negate that really simple universal sentiment. And the band were like, dude, just like do that on another song. It's like, if you want to write a song called I'm In Love With You, just do it. Like, you've proven, you don't have to prove that you're like the funniest or the most sardonic like all the time. Like, I think we're kind of stepping into an era of sincerity. And that's something that I've been talking about has been coming for a while. You know, we've even had songs called like Sincerity Is Scary. My fear of just saying stuff like, tell me you love me. That's all that I need to hear without referencing like my genitals, you know.
I'll bring up that first single, you know, Part of the Band, first single for us, which I've loved. There is a trick you do. And I'm asking this more into your songwriting style and how you approach it, because you figured out the art of making a song feel like it has a chorus when it doesn't.
Oh, that's a cool observation.
Yeah. How do you do that? I mean, again, because it's not till somebody points that out to me that I think, oh my God, it doesn't really have a traditional chorus.
You know, it's the same with Set. It doesn't have a chorus. It just has this kind of like resolve at the end. And I think that a lot of my favorite songs are like that. Like, you know, I've referenced All My Friends by LCD Sound System openly throughout my career and throughout my music all the time. There's kind of like a tension, like a suspension going on the whole time. Do you know what I mean? And then you get this resolve, and maybe that's good enough for us. You know, maybe we don't actually need the chorus. We've just been taught that the chorus is the revelation, but maybe that's not it. It's something else.
It obviously doesn't have to be there, because it's, you know, feels great. And just, you know, hearing that, you know, Michelle Zahner is on that track too. I mean, that's, you've got great taste in showcasing other artists. And you produced the Beba Doobie EP that we love so much. I was going to bring that up too. I mean, is that going to be another lane for you? Is there going to be more production in the future?
Yeah, I like producing stuff. I mean, everything I've done has kind of stayed within my own world, really, because of Dirty Hit, because I have such an active role in it. And like, it's that tends to be the stuff that I've worked on. And I've always been working on 75, you know, it's always quite a big project for me doing a 75 record. So, but yeah, there's been lots of talk of me doing stuff, but I like doing stuff like, right, like, I'm not that great at multitasking. So when I do it, I'm not going to do it when I've got like an American tour to do or something. Do you know what I mean? If I'm going to do like my big production record debut, but I'm sure I will do.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Matt Healy of the 1975. I don't know, man. I could just compliment you in so many places on this. I mean, all I need to hear and that sound that you're doing. I mean, it's got that sort of bluesy sound to it. It's got one of my favorite lines on the record. I don't care if you're sincere. Just tell me what I need to hear. I mean, that almost feels like a thesis line in a way, you know. But And it's always been a thing. I mean, I'm going to hit an old question here about how you all are so versatile with your genres, but does that affect how you approach a song lyrically or stylistically, vocally, I mean?
Yeah, I'm sure the stylistic of the song it influences the performance, but a song is a song, really. Do you know what I mean? Like, for us, like, it really is superficial, like the kind of the genre, like, because of the generation that we grew up in, like, we always had this mantra of we create in the way that we consume. No one listens to one type of music, no one has one favorite type of music, and we were never impelled, I don't even know if that's a word, we were never wanted to we would just be bored. So this is the thing, like, we've always been celebrated for being bold, when what we've really done is just, like, avoided being bored, really. And I think that it's like Bill Murray said about, like, acting and comedy, like, if you can make a cake, do you reckon you can make a tart? Do you know what I mean? Like, blues and pop, there's no difference. The song's the song, do you know what I mean? If you've got good taste and you know where the heart of the song is, then the kind of the genre, and I'm doing the fingers thing to put it in parentheses, it'll figure itself out. Do you know what I mean?
Well, again, it just blends so well. And you know, I was talking about that last half of the record too. I mean, it ends with the gentleness of When We Are Together, which I hope you don't mind just a direct question. Like, I'd love to know anything about that song, because that's the one I keep coming back to even over and over and over.
Funny, isn't it? Same one with me. So we delivered the record. We'd finished the album. Just a little industry insider bit for people. Like, vinyl is in a very, very strange place. Lots of people want it. Not a lot of people make it. So if you want to put a record out on vinyl and have it come out at the same time as your record, you've got to send them the album very, very early on. And we knew that. So we knew that we had to finish it. And we did send it off. For whatever reason, creative, personal, I was like, I don't want this song that was previously on the record. I don't want it on it. So I pulled the record back, and I had the demo, When We Are Together, which didn't have any instrumentation apart from acoustic guitar and vocal, and me, George, and Jack in a kind of, I don't want to call it a panic, but in a rush, we went to Electric Lady and we had 2 days to make and mix and deliver that song. So the fact that it's just, like, you know, acoustic guitar and banjo painting the fence, do you know what I mean? It's me on the bass, it's George on the drums. Like, it was genuinely, it finished off the record perfectly, because the record was all about, like, captured moments. It wasn't about these big constructs that have been made over 2 years. It was about, like, capturing things that had happened, and it was the final thing we did on the record, and it was the last song, and it's the one that I keep coming back to as well.
It's funny, there are great stories throughout music history and rock history of that, like, oh, we needed one more song, or this was our last second, and ends up being, you know, one of the biggest statements of those albums. It's, I don't know what that says about it. And maybe it's just what you're getting to. It's like, almost like the less thoughts, you know, the less thoughts,
like that's totally it. Like, that is because, you know, when you have, like, a lazy journalist, they'll say stuff like, do you have a message for your fans? Or they'll say stuff like, what's your advice for, like, a young artist? So I've really actually had to think about that question. And my advice is, like, trust your instinct. Like, if you're an artist and your instinct is to, like, do something, if you sit there and over-intellectualize it or write it on a whiteboard and start comparing it to, then you're never going to have a song that doesn't have a chorus. Do you know what I mean? That somebody off from Consequence of Sound's like, oh, that's really cool. Do you know what I mean? That's not going to happen if you're, like, just trying to. So just trust your instinct. Just do what you see in your head. Do you know what I mean? Because that's all that good art is, I think.
Well, I know we're up against the clock. I quickly, really quickly want to bring up the videos the three I've seen. I mean, the storytelling you always do. I love your videos. It takes me back to growing up on music videos when that's all I watched. When I looked at these, and maybe I'm putting something there that's not, but are these in any way Depeche Mode influenced? Because I keep seeing little things in there that I love about their videos as well.
I think that Depeche Mode have influenced the 1975 aesthetically quite a lot. Yeah. There's not that many direct references in there to their stuff, because honestly, I like them more aesthetically than I like them musically. Not shots fired, but I'm just saying, just like, to be honest. So I think that this separation in Wilms in Manchester is so small. We've got south of Manchester, you've got Wilmslow, which is part of Macclesfield. You know what I mean? So we're from Macclesfield. So that's where Joy Division are from. You know, we grew up around their kids and their history, and you can't kind of avoid that being the main influence of the aesthetic and the feel.
Yeah. Well, that's those little moments, that, especially the black and white part of the band and the way you guys are marching around. It's that enjoy the silence. And then there's the, you know, you throw the cowboy hat later on in the next video. And I'm like, man, I love this. I love. And you had the same director with Samuel Bradley, right? I mean, that was total creative control. Was there any reason there?
Well, no, it's just because I tend to write all of the videos, but then I haven't done my 10,000 hours as a director, so I don't want to be arrogant and be like, oh, I'll direct them as well. There's always going to be somebody who's probably better than I am, or certainly more well-equipped at the moment to visually bring to life like my ideas. Do you know what I mean? So I just splurge my ideas, and then I need someone to say, well, this is how we can do it. And then I'll go, right, well, we'll do this and we'll do this and we'll do this. So it's always, you know, it wouldn't make sense if somebody else like wrote the videos, but that was why it was just, I wanted one person to be able to deal with me for 6 months. So it's better to lock someone in a room than try and convince, you know, four or five people. And he's a genius as well. I love him. He's amazing.
No, the videos, they really are. They're classics right away. I mean, them too. Manny, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it. Again, I'm such a big fan. I love this record. I can't wait to listen to it more and see you guys on the road too.
Thanks so much, man. Thank you. It means a lot.
My thanks to Matt Healy. The 1975 new record, Being Funny in a Foreign Language, is out now. Thanks to you as well for checking out the episode. Before you leave, hit that subscribe button so you can keep up again with the three interviews that we put out every single week. New ones every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at all the usual podcast spots, including iTunes and Apple Podcast, Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. After that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. That's Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence, they've got your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all three of them, at Kyle Meredith. Do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
Thanks, Kyle. Bye.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.